Peace, be still. But Jesus, the synod, is going to pieces. The district is engaged in all kinds of troubles. The congregation is about to split. Peace, be still. But Jesus, I have about 80,000 assignments to get done before the end of the quarter. It's not going to happen. Peace, be still. Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? What is the problem with these guys? Why don't the disciples have faith? Why are they so afraid? After all, look at how well the ministry of Jesus is going. Withered hands have been healed, and Christ has revealed himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. The demons have confessed him as Son of God and been cast out. He has proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and taught the growing masses of disciples. All is good and well. The only downside is that when he teaches, it's difficult to understand him. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his disciples, he explained everything. So when Jesus says, "Let us go across to the other side," no doubt the disciples were excited by the opportunity. No doubt they thought that this relaxing little jaunt would be an occasion to spend some quality time with Jesus and ask him to explain some of his parables more fully, more clearly. And then when they didn't understand the answers he gave them again, they could ask him some more and some more and some more until they finally understood him. All their plans to the contrary, Jesus takes a nap. It's like class at 1 o'clock, right after lunch. Then the problem sets in. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. The problem was clear, plain as could be. Storm, big wind, smallish boat, large wave, boat sinks, everybody dies. We are perishing. Seems a little weak at this point, doesn't it? I am going to die. You are going to die. We are going to die. Reminds me of the story of John Wesley. While on board a boat going to Georgia in the mid-1730s, a terrific storm came up, and Wesley was convinced that the ship he was in was going down. His end was near. His problem was that he wasn't convinced he was actually converted. So if he died at this point, he might go to heaven, he might not. Here's how he put it in his journal. Sunday, the 25th of January. At noon, our third storm began. At 4, it was more violent than before. At 7, I went to the Germans. A dubious choice, that's an editorial comment. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior. In the midst of the Somme, wherewith their service began, the sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks, as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterward, "Were you not afraid?" He answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were you not your women and children afraid?" He replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." Wesley was terrified of the prospect of dying. The Germans, the Moravians, were not. They were singing hymns and praising God, looking forward, you might say, to their imminent demise. They believed they would depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. The presence of the Moravians served to show Wesley what a lousy Christian he really was. Their rejoicing condemned him. Rejoice in the Lord always, and if you don't, you're sinning. Is that what's going on here? The presence of Christ as law to unfaithful disciples? No. Christ being present in the boat is there to comfort. The Lord is there, specifically, intentionally, and purposefully present in the midst of the storm, in the hull of the sinking boat, for the distressed disciples. Lutherans like to use this text to prove the humanity of Jesus. See, he had to sleep. He really was a man. The text certainly underscores that, but it also tells us that the human is drawn so fully up into the divine, that God in Christ is so truly reconciling man to himself. The human is drawn up so that the God-man takes a snooze while the boat threatens to sink. The man Jesus didn't have to desperately start bailing water. He took a Sabbath. But we can see the boat is sinking, can't we? Whether it's synod, district, congregation, seminary, ourselves, we see the water come in and we start bailing. And then we cry out, "Where are you? Don't you care that we are perishing? Why are you so afraid?" Because you don't seem to care. You seem to be asleep. You aren't doing anything. And Jesus prayed, "Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Why are you so afraid? Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.